knowing that we'll be leaving shortly to Guatemala, I shared with my students in the last class that I had in a couple courses a few challenges. And I picked out kind of the essence of that for the message today because it's something that has been close to me, has been a challenge for me in terms of my view of God. Our view of God, so I make it first person plural to include us in this part of it, that our view of God is the most important view we have. And to whatever degree our view of God is distorted, to that same degree our lives will miss the mark. We'll miss the mark biblically. If we don't understand, we've seen a lot of faithful servants of the Lord over the years. We've worked with many, but we've also seen many failures, shipwrecks. And as we come back to it, I think a lot of that can be focused on this. And so there are three points that I'd like to take a look at in the message this morning. And we'll, the foundation verse passage for this, and from there two derivatives. So for the three points, but the Romans 11, 33 to 36, a passage that is one of my favorites, and it's the doxology, Paul's doxology, in the middle of his book, of course, or the letter to the Romans, but the message on this, that worshipful attitude that bears so much on the whole letter that he's writing. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Rome. And we pray that as we look at some of the implications of this in terms of practical living and for us today and some of the tendencies and temptations and things that we would be able to see how you want us to understand you, to see you, and to view you. And that we just pray that you'd be working this morning in our hearts as we go through this. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Because in the letters he writes, as you all know, I know you know that because here's a great smile. Starting out with a need for a Savior, for salvation, just celebrating with the birth of Christ, and then with a provision, it's no longer what the audience, and especially thinking of the Jewish audience, what they had understood their responsibility to be before the Lord. Well, that's changed. Now it's by grace, and they're saved, and and then what that means for us with we're justified and sanctified and the practical ways, for some of the in chapters 6-7 and moving up there. And then I'm sure that the Apostle Paul was thinking about, well, there are going to be some questions, especially in the part of the Jewish people, about, well, what about the all the promises for the nation of Israel, for the Jewish people that we have in the Old Testament, in our scriptures, and how does this fit in? So we have this passage where he talks about God's plan and for Israel and for the Jewish nation, and then that the Gentiles being grafted in the church age. We see a different dealing, how God works. And then it's like, but, there's still something ahead. And, the time, all Israel is going to be saved. And then he gets to this point at the end of chapter 11, and his heart just explodes with this praise, this doxology. And it's like, this goes beyond what you would expect or how we can really understand the details. And so we have this passage, which is part of a larger passage, of course, but oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him and it shall be repaid Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. One of the great doxologists praised passages of Scripture. Well, as you look at this, you know, and I look around, I see things that are happening in the world. You don't have to look very far until you find that there are people who are really hurting and that don't really understand how God's working in their lives or even in the world or in situations. And they become frustrated. And you know, just know that God is beyond our understanding. If we can understand God, then He's not that much greater than us. He's the creator. He's the infinite one. We're the creation. And that has implications, real implications for us in how we view God and understand God. And when we have a parallel passage there, or the one that would contribute a little different focus there from Isaiah 55, you know, His ways being, you know, far above ours, and giving some comparison there. But you know, there are people who are facing the questions about why doesn't God do things the way I think He should? And so when God doesn't do like they think, well, then they kind of abandon the ship. And one of the big wigs, you may or may not be aware of the name of Bart Ehrman, professor of religion at Chapel Hill's campus of North Carolina University, and he, a graduate of Wheaton, and he's gone around writing books and now speaking on campuses. He was one of more or less, you know, evangelical Christian. He finally got saved as a result of his witness. And then he started having doubts. And then he became an agnostic. And now he says he's an atheist. And how can somebody get to that point? But you know what? He said, just losing confidence in the Scripture, he became a liberal Christian at that point. But the reason he became an atheist is because of all the suffering in the world. Wow, you know, you think, okay. Because he doesn't understand how God can be God and allow all the suffering in the world. Well, do you understand that? Well, I don't. But folks, to me, if we could understand, if we could say how God ought to be and that He'd be that way, He'd no longer be God. God has purposes. God has plans that go beyond what we can see. It's not limited to our perspective. It's much broader. And folks, and I told my students, because, you know, it's not only university professors of religion that face that. This week, 24th, day before Christmas, talking to Carla, is in Guatemala. A girl standing at selling some artifacts there from Guatemalan hand handiwork, and she wondered, what are you doing here in Guatemala? I teach Bible. Do you have a Bible in your home? No, I used to. Oh, interesting. You know, how come you don't have a Bible now? My mother died when I was 18, and she was a Christian, and I just feared it's not fair, and so I just quit going to church and got rid of my Bible. Okay. Not only Bart Ehrman. Well, you know, there are actually other people. This year has been an unfortunate year in broader Christianity worldwide, with some statements from other leaders and things about, you know, their inability to understand, and with Hillsong. I'm not sure, you know, how much of these things you're aware of, but there are some leaders making comments about not sure of their faith because they don't understand how God works. Well, I'm saying, don't be surprised if we don't understand how God works. That's the way it should be. Because if we can understand how He works, it's something's wrong. I want to leave that challenge, okay? God's infinite purposes exceed our finite ability. We shouldn't expect to be able to understand. We accept by faith. We believe that God knows what He's doing, that God has a plan, and He's working toward that. Okay, and 1.2, do not turn your back on God when you do not understand. See, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Did he understand that? He asked 3 times if that be removed. To him, that would have been the best way, but God had other plans. He said, okay, you know, my grace is sufficient. You know, okay, I can live with it. You turned it over to God. The things you don't understand, leave in God's hands. Deuteronomy 29:29, a passage that, for me, has been important. There are things that God hasn't revealed to us. He knows that. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There are things that we need to know, but there are secret things of God. There are things that we don't understand and that He has not revealed to us. And we leave that in His hands. Know that God is beyond our understanding. Now, I think, for me, they're like two derivatives or corollaries to that. And one of these, the second point here, cultivate your personal relationship with the Lord. And now we have a passage, Luke 10. It's on two screens here so that the letters don't become too small. I hope you can read it. A certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. And in the world we live in, there are a lot of things to distract us. The Martha types, you know, good things. And I tell my students, you know, they really need to be aware of this, because one of their worst enemies can become doing too many good things, especially if they neglect the better part. And so this challenge that I want to leave with you this morning is to focus always on your relationship with the Lord. To develop, to cultivate that. I grew up in a farm. We had a dairy farm. But when I was still pretty young, I'd be out cultivating the corn. We had corn that we put in a silo for over the winter. And you know, when you cultivate, there are a couple of things to keep in mind. One is, one of the reasons for cultivating as you drive that tractor down the row is to take out the weeds. Because the weeds are going to obstruct the growth of the corn. They're going to take nutrients and your corn won't grow like it should if you've got weeds. The other part, you know, by cultivating that, aerates the ground a little, makes it more, it makes the ground better for the growth of the corn. You're focusing on the growth of the corn. The other thing is you need to keep your eye ahead. You learn quickly, you don't look down. Because if you look down when you're driving that tractor, you can quickly get off course just a little bit. It doesn't take much until you take out a row of corn instead of the weeds. You know, we need to keep our eyes focused ahead and not just on the immediate around us. And that's part of that relationship with the Lord. And it's so easy. It's so easy when we're busy. And we're busy doing good things. And on the mission field, let me tell you, there are a lot of demands for doing things. A lot of good things that you can do. And if we aren't, and for students, for all of us as Christians, there are a lot of good things that the enemy would be glad that we do instead of focusing on our relationship with the Lord. And we have, in the Luke passage, where Mary has made the decision to sit at Jesus' feet and take in His words, His Word. Folks, let's make that a priority in our lives. Always. Not just for 1 week, not just for 1 year. I have reflections for 2020 and beyond. Because I'm hoping that some of these things you may take along with you the rest of your lives. And when you have questions about, boy, I don't understand what God's doing, instead of turning your back, trust in faith. When you have demands on your time and your life and you're feeling like, oh, well, I don't have time to do all this, that's when you really need to step back and say, ah, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Where can I fit in? And go back to the Word for the growth. If you're going to cultivate your relationship with the Lord, there are many ways. We have the disciplines, spiritual disciplines that we sometimes talk about. And one of those I think that we maybe don't talk about as much is just having some quiet time, reflection time with the Lord to allow Him to speak to us as we go through the Word. And many of us take time daily to read the Word, and that's great. But also to allow to interact with that and allow the Lord to apply that and speak to us. Weeding out obstacles to growth, such as overt sin. We can't grow if we have sin there looming before us. But also spending too much time in less important good work or ministry, like Martha. Martha, she was wanting to serve Jesus. But Mary chose the better course. And so, be Mary, not Martha, in your lives as you move ahead. One of the things that I've been challenged, I taught Sunday school. This is Sunday school, not seminary. I was teaching in Sunday school and started focusing on gratitude. And you know, it's actually kind of changed the way I deal with some of these things, because I realized, you know, this is an area that I ought to be changing. Because we can go through life often not really focusing much on that. Where it was, oh yeah, I'm thankful, I'm grateful. But I've tried to give that more a higher priority. And part of that comes back to our understanding of God. See, that's why I'm putting this as kind of like a corollary to the first point. Because if we, in this passage, so Jesus answered and said, we know, there were 10 lepers and, you know, 9 were probably from the context were probably Jewish and one was a Samaritan. And so they all came, you know, pleading, oh, cleanse me. And Jesus cleansed all 10 of them and goes, you know, show yourself to the priest. And the 9 Jews go off to show themselves to the priest. And the Samaritan comes back when he sees he's clean. And he worships, falls down, he worships. And as he worships, so he had. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Pick up on that. Glory to God for what he had done in their lives. Okay, 3 points we want to pick out on here. One, acknowledge in your heart that every blessing comes from God. You say, well, yeah, I know that. In a general way, you know, I think we do. We understand that. But, you know, we praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so we're praising Him. But, you know, for me at least, and so I'm just sharing it with you, perhaps in some way you'll be challenged, to make this a more personal challenge of gratitude, to recognize God's role in this. And there, a couple of passages, you know, we could look at. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8. Because you probably know the other context perhaps better than this. And another passage here, the one in Deuteronomy, that after, okay, there, the context for Deuteronomy, they spent the 40 years roaming through the wilderness, and they get to enter, as they're getting ready to enter the promised land, they're given the second law. They go back reviewing, going over the points of the law in Deuteronomy for the people as they go in. And there are principles here that I think are applicable for us today. And so in chapter 8, so as they go in, they're being promised, you know, like wonderful blessing. God's going to prosper them. Well, if they're obedient, as we get later, you know, you get to chapters 27, 28, you know, if they're disobedient, they're going to have a lot of problems. But here he's telling them, when they get in the land and they start reaping these benefits and they become wealthy, you know, they have more property, their bank account grows and everything. And in verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, this is real blessing. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Okay, oh, a little warning here. Look, I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to give you a lot of stuff. But be careful that when you're living with all these things that I have, and we'll jump to 17, 18. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Boy, you know, I was a good manager. I made good decisions for investing. You know, that stock I bought, you know, a lot of people weren't investing at that time. Wow, my timing was right on. Whatever it is that you've done and that has given you all these things. It's easy to think, boy, I did a good job on that one. God say, hey, just a minute here, just a minute. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, and that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. God is the one that has allowed us, has given us this opportunity. And so instead of looking at it as, I did good here, gratitude. God, this was your doing. And that's where when it comes back for me is to be more consciously aware of God's role in what we have. And a dear friend of ours in Guatemala, I remember, still, he says, he gets up, I thank the Lord for air to breathe. Well, of course, if you don't have air to breathe, and then you see on news, I don't know if you saw this in Japan, they're buying air packaged in Canada. They can buy to be able to breathe some good mountain air. Well, maybe you need it here too. I'm not sure exactly how you feel about your environment, but in general, we don't need to buy air, generally speaking. But it is things like that that we take for granted. And God has given us this. And so many other things. And so to be conscious, acknowledge in your heart. And that acknowledging your heart is a personal thing. And so in the morning, often I get awake before the alarm goes off. And now I try to think, what are some things to be grateful for this morning as I begin my day? And to focus on being grateful for what God has given. And of course, you have your many things you can repeat every day. Your family, your wife, being beside my wife and things like that, and health, and so many things to thank the Lord for. But there's a host of other things. You can look back on Psalm 103 there too for some ideas about things to be thankful for. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and then you got a list of stuff there that the psalmist saw. Moving on to the second point there, you see, a grateful heart produces satisfaction, joy, and happiness. Instead of focusing on the complaining, if we focus on gratitude, okay, there's some things that, maybe I would change, but God has it in control, so I can even be grateful for that, even though I don't maybe see the answer at this point. In Philippians, Paul, that is his thank you letter to the Philippian church for what? The thank you letter? Well, you might on the surface think it's because they sent him money, an offering, and that, that made him really happy. I think his joy was more because of their partnership, their joining with him. If you analyze that word a little bit, very deep, about partnering with him, he felt that they were with him, and this was an evidence of that, and so that's why he has this joy in his heart, because he has this church that's standing with him in ministry. They're partnering with him. Janet and I know some of that joy from your partnership with us over these years, and other churches, and other people who have partnered with us. And that joy that produces, and I think that joy that is reflected in that letter is primarily because of that joy from others partnering with him in their ministry. Chapter 4, there's a number of verses there. But you can see that he has this joy in his heart because of that. And the third point, verbalizing and expressing our gratitude pleases the Lord. Because when Jesus asked that Samaritan and the other nine, were the other nine grateful? Were they glad to have been healed? Yes. They had been pleading with Jesus to heal them. So when Jesus healed them and they went off to show themselves to the priests, I believe they were thankful, but they didn't express it. I think some of us say, hey, are you glad you're healed? Well, yeah. Well, then the issue is to express that, to go back. And that's the point that, for me, as I apply this to myself, I try to make this a point to express to the Lord my gratitude, to be a bit more proactive in this. And I'm thankful for so many things. A lot of things I don't even bother to tell them. It pleases the Lord. Where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? They were glad to be healed, but they didn't tell them. Let's tell the Lord. Let's express our gratitude to Him. In closing, let's go to Psalm 95. Some of you are following in your Bibles there, some of these verses. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. And that's gratitude being expressed. Thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise unto Him with songs. And that's part of our gratitude and expressing that, singing His praises for who He is. And so our view of God, know that God is beyond our understanding. Points to take along with you. I hope that perhaps, you know, somebody here will be impacted, touched to remember this. And when you get in a difficult situation or see you don't understand what God's doing, remember, we shouldn't understand. God shouldn't be understood by man. Not totally. He's beyond us. He has purposes that we are not even capable of understanding because He's God. Cultivate your personal relationship with the Lord. That's where your strength will come from. That's where your joy will come from. And develop a sincere sense of gratitude. Make that part of your life, part of your daily being as a Christian, living before the Lord. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You. Amen.